Scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. You'll recall we've been with Jesus through the Sermon on the Mount, and today, on this last Sunday of Epiphany, the last Sunday before we enter to the season of Lent, we have a special message that we need to focus on today as we begin our Lenten journey. And Jesus takes some of his disciples up a mountain, and this story is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, 17th chapter. Verses 1 through 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright light covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, it was a wonderful sunrise. I don't know if you all saw it or not. As I was driving in from Milton, the sun was coming up over the ocean, but I could only see trees, of course, and I even stopped and took a picture of it. It was magnificent. And it reminded me how powerful, how big, and how our sun, S-U-N, affects our lives. The sun is powerful. We're only now just beginning to realize how powerful the sun's energy is as we turn more towards alternative fuels and solar cells in our in many things, on signs and traffic lights, as well as homes and businesses and factories. The sun, you see, is powerful because it's the source of life. Without the sun, we could not exist. It's big, too. How big is our sun? Try 1.3 million times bigger than our Earth. That would be like taking a baseball and having a 25-foot radius beach ball. If you had a baseball here and a 25-foot beach ball here, that would be the comparison on a scale 1.3 million times bigger than our Earth. We all know that the sun has a tremendous effect upon our Earth, upon our atmosphere. Solar flares every once in a while get through the magnetic field of the Earth that protects us from these flares. And they disrupt communications, and they disrupt electronic systems and so forth. And they tell us in 2013 that there will be a major solar flare event that will have a major effect on computers and electronic equipment. And, of course, there will be increased cases of cancer as a result of this. So scientists are looking at that very carefully. Our sun is big. Our sun is powerful, and our sun affects our daily lives. But this text today from Matthew's Gospel reminds us that the sun does also, the S-O-N, the Son of God. The story of Jesus and the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration reminds us that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus experiences some kind of metamorphosis, some kind of change, some kind of transformation. The Bible calls it a transfiguration. That's a word we don't hear every day, do we, in our daily lexicon. Transfiguration simply means a change of some sort, a metamorphosis. And the disciples see the power of God upon Jesus to identify him, to change him somehow, some way, so that there was no mistaking that this was the Son of God. And the disciples think, this is powerful. But then Jesus is seen on that mountain with Moses and Elijah on the mount. The two superheroes of the faith, the two patriarchs of the Hebrew faith, and Jesus is there among them talking with them. God is showing these disciples that Jesus is the fulfillment not only of the law of Moses, but also the fulfillment of all the prophets. And there they are, the big three. They are together on that mountain, witnessed by the disciples, and they're thinking, man, this is big. But then Peter responds, like Peter always tended to do, by jumping out of the boat first, or by sticking his foot in his mouth. Good old Peter was always the first one to jump before he thought. And he says to Jesus, I'm going to start a housing project. He actually said, let us build three dwellings. What's the point of that, Peter? What has that got to do with any of this? I think Peter wanted to stay there. I think he wanted to abide there. I think he wanted to set up camp, if you will, there on that mountaintop and stay there and build shelters for these superheroes, which was ridiculous. Of course, how could you possibly contain this holiness in a dwelling or a shelter? And God speaks from a cloud. The voice of God descend, the cloud that descend, a cloud descends upon the mountain, just like it did with Moses on the mountain at Mount Sinai when he gave the law. And the voice of God spoke clearly, this is my son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the disciples fell on their face at the sound of his voice, terrified. But Jesus lovingly says, get up, don't be afraid. We've got work to do. We've got work to do. Don't say anything about this until after I am raised from the dead. At Jesus' transfiguration, the disciples just begin to grasp the power of the Son. That's S-O-N. As we begin our Lenten journey, as we begin these next 40 days and 40 nights, have we underestimated the power of the Son? S-O-N. I'd like to share with you a couple of things that might help us on our journey as we begin the next 40 days together. The Son is big. I told you how big the S-U-N is, but Jesus, the Son, is big too. How big? How about being at the beginning of creation? John's Gospel tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You can't get any bigger than that. The Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of the universe, Jesus, God, there together, creating. Jesus is bigger than creation and exists with creative power. Paul recognizes this when he writes in Colossians chapter 1, in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. In Christ all things hold together. I think sometimes that our God isn't big enough for us. What do we mean by that? Well, we pray and we lose hope, and we see things not happening, and we don't trust God enough. Our God is not big enough when we don't trust Him with our situations and our circumstances. How big is your God? The God of the Bible, the God of heaven and earth, is bigger than the universe. And God can handle all your problems, all your issues, all your concerns. But sometimes we forget that, and our God isn't big enough. The Son is powerful. The figures of Moses and Elijah there on that mountaintop demonstrate the power of God to bring those two figures to Jesus to be witnessed by these disciples, these superheroes of the faith. And it reveals to them that Jesus is in the same league, if you will, with Moses and Elijah. For you see, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. These disciples needed that power. They needed that demonstration of power for the journey that lie ahead of them. For you see, they would go down from that mountain and take the journey to Jerusalem. And we know what happened in Jerusalem, don't we? It reminds me of mountaintop experiences in life. I've had a few mountaintop experiences. What do we mean by that? Those special moments, those God moments, those places in our lives, in our spiritual journey, in our walk, where we felt especially blessed, especially close to God, where, you know, things were just really clicking and God was very real for us. I always think of my walk to Emmaus experience as a mountaintop experience. You see, we're on a lifelong journey, and we're going to need power from on high, supernatural power, the power of the Holy Spirit to see us through daily life. The disciples were given power after Jesus left at Pentecost to start the church movement and to move out into the world. We need that wonder-working power in our lives today that those disciples saw that day on that mountain. And the sun has an effect on our lives. Those disciples have what I like to call a close encounter of the God kind. A close encounter of the God kind. And Peter responds. The effect that it had on Peter, Peter wanted to do something. He had to do something as a response to this wonderful vision that he had. It was absurd and it was ridiculous, but he still was moved to do something. The voice of God said, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." The effect that it had on those disciples is that they were terrified at the sound of God's voice. But then Jesus lovingly comes and touches them on the shoulder, touches them and says, "Get up, don't be afraid. Don't tell anyone what you've seen here today, but there's work to be done. We got to get down off this mountain because there's a people in the valley that are hurting. There are people in the valley who need Jesus. There's people in the valley. There's people in Lewis. There's people in Milton. There's people in Rehoboth. There's people all over this world that need us to come down off our mountain, to come out of our churches, to get outside these four walls, and to proclaim the gospel, and to show them love, and to invite them into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, to invite them to a free dinner, to invite them to a church service, to invite them to a special program, a children's program, or to a grief support group, or something along those lines. We've got to get out of our pews. We've got to come down off the mountain and respond with wonder-working power from God. Jesus was on the last leg of his earthly journey. And the disciples needed this vision. They needed this encounter, this experience to sustain them for their journey because it was not going to be easy following Jesus these next few months or weeks or whatever time frame it was. Because at the end of that journey was a cross, a horrible cross that Jesus would have to bear. Wednesday, we begin that journey with Jesus. A time, as Joy shared a while ago, a time to look at ourselves, a time to do some thinking about our lives, to think about our relationship with God. What things do we need to change, perhaps, in our lives? What things do we need to let go of, to give up, or maybe to take on? What will draw you closer to God this week, this 40 days of Lent? We need this reminder today that our power comes from the Son, S-O-N. We need this reminder today that we need to reflect the Son's light in our everyday lives. We need this reminder today, I do, of the Son's power for lifelong ministry. Like the disciples, we can't stay on the mountain. We've got to come down. And the voice of God is telling us today, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The question today for all of us is, are we listening? Are we listening? Today we gather as God's family to celebrate Holy Communion. And in this meal that we're about to share is the love of God, is represented in the bread and the juice, the fruit of the vine. These are the means of grace by which God has given us to sustain us for that journey, not only for Lent, but for our Christian walk in life. Let it be known that Jesus invites all people to his table. He invites all those who love him. He invites all those who earnestly repent of their sin and wish to live in harmony with God and with one another. Therefore,